morning. We'll call the October 1st, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson?
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. At this time, we have no amendments to the agenda.
Entertaining motion to approve the agenda.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, to approve the agenda is printed. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deemer?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of September 17th and September 24th. Any corrections, concerns, or questions?
No, I read them all. They're great. Perfect.
They'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
Well, I guess I need your advice. I just, this morning before I went into work, I have a long, long email from someone who says Sussex County doesn't care that about noise, and that this gentleman wants us to pass a noise ordinance, and I've heard this over and over again. We'll have to answer him, but it kind of bothers me that, you know, that he would say something like that online about the county, because that's not true. But I guess we will get back to him. But you know, I have gotten complaints about that kind of thing quite often. But this is extraordinary email.
Anything else, Ms. Deemer?
No,
thank you. Anything else
from council? We probably just moved her last week.
Mr. Lawson?
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. This morning, first item of business is a presentation by the Delaware Sports Commission. We're joined by members of the commission, and the chairman, Dr. Matt Robinson, is here to give a presentation on the new slam dunk at the beach. Mr. Robinson, come forward.
Applaud, applaud.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving us time on the agenda to talk about the slam dunk at the beach tournament. Thank you. The slam dunk at the beach tournament has a very positive history in the past. And the sports commission was very well aware of the fact that it did not end on the best terms. I want to first talk about the Delaware Sports Commission and our role and what we do and why we're going to be involved with the relaunch of the tournament. The Delaware Sports Commission is our primary goal is to bid, recruit regional sporting events to the state of Delaware for the purpose of economic development. We've over the past 6 years bringing a number of events to all three of the different the counties, including Sussex County, and we have a board of directors made up of all volunteers of a combination of the sport community and the tourism community. Scott Thomas from the Visitors Bureau, Martin Donovan, who is the president and leads the World Series that's held down here in Sussex County, and then also Bob Salento, who is the athletic director at Cape Hamilton High School, so that the county has representation. As you can see, we've had a couple major events that have occurred within Sussex County already that we've been involved with, as well as several other high-profile as well as youth sports events throughout the state. And when we created the commission 7 years ago, one of our stated goals was to have a signature event that we would associate with the sports commission. And it was through we've had several opportunities that we investigated, and the one thing that kept continually popped up was the slam dunk at the beach. And we'd heard a lot of positive things of people wanting to potentially see it come back, both within the state and also within the basketball community nationally. And so it led to us to researching on the decision for us to bring the event back. And again, full well knowing that it did not end on the best terms, and we're very conscious of that as we move forward. So the idea of bringing it back is, again, the idea of driving tourism into Sussex County in those winter months. And it has that ability with bringing in teams outside of the state that would be bringing their fans with them down into the county. Also, it's a national brand. I think some things have changed in the environment of sport since the tournament last held, the one being that there's a lot of sport-specific networks out there that are looking for content. So we feel very positive that we'll have the ability to have games broadcast both regionally and nationally on those different sports outlets. So again, we'll get some national recognition for Sussex County as well as the state. And then again, the idea that we'd heard from the business community that slam dunk had generated business for them during that time. And again, we're excited about that opportunity of being a catalyst for that business being driven to Sussex County during that time.
In the winter.
In the wintertime, yes. So again, some overview is that the tournament would be held at Cape Henlopen and High School. And again, things have changed in 10 years that Cape Henlopen High School is a modern, state-of-the-art facility, incredible facility, some of the best, probably the best high school gyms I've seen around the country. The dates are December 27th to 29th, and notice it's 2014. We wanted to do the due diligence to make sure we get this up and right and do it very well the first year. So we didn't want to rush it into this coming winter. We'll take the year to make sure we're doing it right, and we'll be launching in 2014. The idea is that we're going to have national and regional teams traveling to Sussex County. Up to 20 teams would be involved in the tournament. And again, we've hired a company, Position Sports, that has relationships in the basketball community throughout the country. They worked with Michael Jordan has an all-star game that's held each year with the top high school players. They manage that event. They work with USA Basketball, which is our national governing body. They have an impeccable reputation, and they have very good relationships to help us draw quality teams to come participate in the tournament. But I think the other thing that's very important is that we want to have local teams, and we heard that as well. And we have a couple different models that we're going to be communicating with the athletic directors within the state and Kevin Charles with the DIAA to make sure that we have the inclusion of the state teams in a manner that they're comfortable with. But understanding as well that it's important because with the sports commission being tied with the idea of bringing in external visitors, it's important that we also have those external teams, and it's a great opportunity for our local players to play against some of the best players in the country. So it's a combination of trying to address both of those. Okay, and again, we'll be exploring those television options. But again, the goal is for us to get national recognition for Sussex County through the basketball tournament. So the benefit will be, again, hotel rooms all over the county being utilized, the restaurants throughout the county. Cape Henlopen School District will have an opportunity to be utilized during what is usually a downtime. Staff that there'll be hired associated with it that will have the police officers, the hospitality staff, local officials, all those people will be involved with the tournament. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, we got when the feedback was there was such a sense of pride associated with Slam Dunk in its past. And again, we want to generate that pride again of putting on a great event. You know, working with Martin Donovan and getting to know Martin Donovan and seeing his staff and just the positive feelings that come out of that World Series event, you know, is the same type of feeling we want to have, that it's a Sussex County event. Even though the Sports Commission is a state entity, it's really an opportunity for Sussex County to come together, work like a team, and our sport community as well as the business community would benefit, you know, from that relationships. Okay? My full-time job is actually I'm a professor up at the University of Delaware. I'm doing this in my position as chairman of the Sports Commission as well as chairman of this basketball tournament is a volunteer position. But with that being said, as a professor at University of Delaware, we're going to be utilizing our students as well as faculty, and the one thing we'll be doing is executing an economic impact study to be able to report back what the actual impact would be on the local economy from that event. And again, we'll be using professors. I'm a director of sport research for a program that's called the Center for Applied in Business Economic Research, and so we'll be using a combination of graduate students and faculty to be involved with the program. And also, it's interesting, as a professor at the university, I've had four students from Sussex County already approach me, and I think it was bordering on threatening me that they want to be involved with the Slam Dunk tournament when it goes on. So we'll have UD students, and I'm sure there'll be several of them from Sussex County, because mm-hmm. they're pretty excited about it coming back. Okay? And there's just a picture from our launch. And again, there's Martin front and center up there, and we had the governor. Had a former player from Caesar Rodney that had the opportunity to play in Slam Dunk. And so, again, we're excited that we have the program launched, and we're looking forward to working over the next year. I think even though it's about 15 months away, I think it's going to come quickly. But we're very excited about the event. We already have a great number of people that are interested in being involved. And, again, we look forward to making a positive contribution here to Sussex County through the basketball tournament. And I'm happy to take any questions that anyone may have.
And where are they going to play basketball?
Cape Henlopen High School.
Can they get all these people you're projecting who are being at high school?
In terms of the visitors?
Yes.
Yes, we have a plan set up as far as the ticketing is concerned, that it would be the case that actually we're going to be running in sessions. So Cape Elmwood High School.
How many can you get in a high school at one time?
If I believe correct, I believe it's 3,000.
3,000. So one basketball game.
Yep. And the idea is that we would run sessions throughout the day, that you'd buy a ticket and get X amount of games, and then clear the gym, and then another group of spectators that would come in.
What's your anticipated budget?
We're still working through that with Position Sports in terms of the projected revenues. And again, the ultimate goal for it is that it will be self-sufficient, that we would generate revenue from ticket sales, sponsorship sales, and some ancillary sales. But at this point, we're still working with Position Sports to determine what the actual budget would be for the tournament.
There was an organization that picked up some of the pieces after Slam Dunk to the Beach. You might want to check with them for some of their numbers.
Okay.
I can get with you and maybe provide some contact information.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else from council?
Yeah, I was just, I know the last one had scholarships associated with it. Are there scholarships being promoted as part of the package for the kids who participate? Or?
Going back to Councilman Phillips' observation, I think the first thing is our goal is to make ourselves self-sufficient.
Right.
And then project out that when we get to the point that we generate revenue and that we have a surplus, then we'd like to turn and put that back into the state. Okay. And again, I think it would be important to get feedback from the state of what they feel the best use of those funds would be, scholarships, programs, whatever it might be.
And I think the last tournament had like almost like three tournaments within one tournament. You had like the Governor's Cup, the Mayor's Cup, and then like the national tournament. Is it still going to be set up similar to that? Because that did generate a lot of
yep.
local interest, like you said, when the local teams were able to participate.
And again, the models that we've had, the company we hired, Position Sport, they've already proposed to us three different potential models.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the idea of highlighting some games that would be, you know, in-state rivalry or you know, maybe two teams have been identified as, hey, these guys could be meeting in March, you know, for the state championship. Let's have them go head-to-head in December.
Right.
So, again, we definitely want to highlight the state teams and then the same thing, offer them the opportunity to play against some of those national teams that are being brought in.
And my recollection of the most important aspect of the past tournament was the hospitality room for the politicians. Now, is that going to...
You don't want that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just was checking. That was the highlight of... My slam dunk experience.
Moving right along. Any other questions for council?
Yeah, I have a question.
Again,
the overseeing agencies would be the Division of Sports. Could you give me the other name?
It's the Delaware Sports Commission.
Delaware Sports Commission.
And
okay.
We've hired Position Sports, which is a national sports marketing firm, but actually the person that's going to be working on the tournament actually lives in Lewis.
Okay, so this is nonprofit organizations or profit-making organizations?
We are nonprofit, the Delaware Sports Commission. And the Position Sport is a for-profit sport marketing firm mm-hmm. that we're subcontracting out.
Okay.
And primarily what they're going to be in charge of is operations of the tournament, media relations. They're good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
so we're hiring them. But any decisions they're making financially will have to seek approval from our board of the for the tournament.
So there's good checks and balances, what you're saying?
You know, again, being aware of some of the issues that came mm-hmm. up in the past tournament, we want those checks and balances in place. So... With that being said, the Delaware Sports Commission has a board of directors and an executive committee.
Mm-hmm.
The executive committee of our sports commission is going to be the executive committee for the tournament.
Who appointed them?
They were voted on by our board at the Delaware Sports Commission. And again, it's I serve as chairman.
Who appointed the board members?
For the
Delaware Sports Commission.
We were a board, mm-hmm. a full board, that the full board voted on the executive committee.
But it's an independent.
Yep.
Nonprofit. Has nothing to do with the state government. No appointments
no.
from the state. Okay.
I take that back. I believe we have a couple appointments that were made by legislators that are members of our board from, and again, we have representation across all three counties.
It's good to do that.
Yeah.
Get their support.
Exactly.
And I like your idea of the internship. And I know you won't take advantage of our students, but I know they will. This practical experience is a good thing for them.
Yeah.
So I admire that.
Yeah, we have a graduate student that's going to be taking on a more senior role, and then we've already started the recruitment that we're actually going to have a course that we'll offer,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking at probably about 10 to 12 students that would be assigned, their class would project would be
mm-hmm.
being involved with the Slam Dunk Tournament.
Great.
Any more questions of the council? Thank you very much.
Great, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for coming down. Thank you, appreciate it. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item of business is the administrator's report for October 1, 2013. One item. Per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Americana Bayside Phase 6 and Seagrass Plantations Revision 2, Phase 4 reached substantial completion effective September 24 and September 25, respectively. That is all, Mr. President. Thank you.
That was a short one.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rizzo. There you go. And Golden Sanitary Sewer District, contract 11-11.
Okay, good morning. I have just one item on the agenda. As Mr. Vincent just mentioned, it's in regard to the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. The contract title is 11-11. It's also known as the Angola Beach Road Grinder Pump System and Villages of Herring Creek Improvements. It's a project that was funded by the USDA Rural Utility Service. We opened bids on April 11th of 2013. Our low bidder was Harry Caswell Incorporated at the bid amount of $137,706. We issued a notice to proceed on July 18th, and the construction time was 60 days, and we are proposing to grant substantial completion effective September 19, 2013. There are some punch list items that need to be addressed, and we will balance the quantities on the contract and come back at a separate time to issue a balancing change order, but nonetheless, we wish to grant substantial completion effective September 19th, and I have a motion that I can read.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants in the County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective September 19, 2013 for Sussex County contract number 11-11, Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District to Harry Caswell Incorporated, and that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
Entertain a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
Are we still getting a lot of bids on these? These projects, I knew we used to, and I don't know. I
think certain it's really contracts small. Seem to be more attractive. Our smaller contracts seem to be more attractive.
Yes,
our larger contracts are where we have fewer contractors working in the area, but there's a lot of work being put out on the street. So we're just having to schedule them and time them to get the maximum amount of bids on the contract.
Right. Any more questions of council? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
How's our project on Warrington and Old Landing Road going?
Warrington.
Where it's already been sold. And
That's that one particular homeowner. We gave them an opportunity to request a waiver if they want to, because they don't want to wait for the district to be expanded, but we have yet to receive the waiver request from the particular property owner.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you.
Blank.
A geothermal HVAC system that was installed with the Kelly Steele. EOC was a closed-loop system.
Jim, if you would help Mr.
Sam's listening to the radio.
With his iPad there. It's a little
He's trying to keep up with the local news.
Yeah, he keeps in touch that way.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
I have an item of old business this morning. Hmm. It is conditional use number 1965. The application of Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for botanic gardens and related visitor center, conservatory, theater, nature center, and parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 36.99 acres, more or less, and lying south of Pontiac Neck Road, also known as Route 336, 1/2 mile west of Bunting Road, being Route 335, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 233, Map 6, Parcel 116.10. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 11th of 2013. Council held a public hearing on August 6th of 2013. Commission made their recommendation on September 12th of 2013. In your packet last week, you were provided with a copy of my report on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mm-hmm. It is several pages, and for the benefit of the record, I will read the findings of the commission and the motion, or the motion and with the findings.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1965 for Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens Incorporated to operate a botanic gardens and related visitor center, conservatory, theater, and nature center, based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the site is zoned AR1 agriculture residential. The use of the botanic garden is compatible with the underlying agricultural zoning of the property. Two, the site is in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, and the use for botanic gardens and environmental education is appropriate for this zone. Three, the intended use will be served by Central Sewer as part of the county's Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. Four, the proposed use is an appropriate conditional use since it has a public character. It protects the natural, cultural, agricultural, and recreational resources through inspirational, educational, and sustainable public gardens for the benefit and enjoyment of the public. Five, the use will have little or no impact on traffic on the nearby roadways. It will also not have an adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. Six, the proposed use meets the purpose of the zoning code in that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. Seven, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Eight, this recommendation for approval is, however, subject to the following conditions. A, the site shall be surrounded by landscape berm and heavy vegetation to screen it from neighboring properties. The location of the berm and the type of vegetation on the berm shall be shown on the final site plan. B, the hours of public access to the operation shall be Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to dusk, with the exception of 11 p.m. closing time as appropriate for special events. C, all lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. E, all entrances, intersections, roadway improvements, etc., as required by DLDOT, shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT. F, all parking shall comply with a requirement set forth in the Sussex County Zoning Code, with all necessary parking contained completely on the site. G, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements and shall be operated using best management practices to provide a positive groundwater recharge. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. H, the applicant stated during the presentation that the use would be funded through federal, state, and county funding sources. As part of any approval, Sussex County Council should consider a statement that the approval of the conditional use ordinance should not be deemed by the applicant to be a commitment to financial support by Sussex County. I, any major changes in the use shall require a new public hearing, and J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Ross, and carried unanimously to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And as a reminder of the Council's action taken, we advise that on August 6, 2013, Council deferred action and left the record open for 30 days for the applicants to provide a business plan. In reference to the requested business plan, Delaware Botanic Gardens provided a cover letter and a business plan on August 30, 2013. The business plan was forwarded to the County Administration Office for consideration by Council. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
I do have one clarification, I guess.
Sir.
When you read the conditions 8B, you read it as Monday through Saturday, and what I'm reading says Monday through Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's normal, Monday through Saturday. Usually we don't have any kind of action on Saturdays.
But it is Monday through Sunday.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Monday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any more questions of Council?
I was just wondering what kind of border you think what planning and zoning is going to require. I know a recent approval, the border that was approved here was a switchgrass, and I don't think that's very good, as far as screening. What kind of screening would they have to have, these people?
Well, typically it's suggested that the applicant go to the Department of Agriculture and speak to the state forester to get a recommendation on
the design. We're subject to that. okay, is what
it's
you're
typically
saying.
What they request, and typically they go to the state forester and get a design, and they try to use native species.
But that it is our decision, is it not?
It would be the commission's decision.
Yeah,
on what it
right.
Should appear
commission.
Sure.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mr. Phillips?
With respect to the business plan, I have some significant concerns, but I guess the question may need to be directed to our county attorney. Is that something that can be introduced as
The business plan and financials of any application, we're looking at the application based on land use decisions, land use criteria. You know, we're not going to get into a position of each store, each shop, each development, trying to determine whether or not it's got a good business plan. And if there's any competition, it needs to be determined based upon the business plan, or excuse me, on the land use decision alone and for land use principles. I do think, though, that what the planning and zoning did was appropriate by placing a provision in portion 8 of the conditions indicating that approval of this, they should not insinuate from the approval that Sussex County is going to fund this.
I can appreciate that. We certainly don't want to micromanage business. At the same time, this is unique in the fact that the land that they are utilizing is land that at one time was purchased by the county. Was put in the hands of the land trust under certain assumptions, I believe, and is now being considered for lease at $1. It would seem that we would have a responsibility to the taxpayers that this project succeed. At what point in time can that be considered?
I think what is before us is a zoning application. We have to use the legal principles for the land use application, and that's all that we would look at.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it's a lease arrangement. If this is not a successful, viable operation, it's still going to be falling. It goes back to the land trust, which is they've partnership with this organization, and it still is in the open state place. You know, open space planning. Planning of our county. So, I mean, it still fits that way. Like I said, and I'm with Everett. I don't want to get involved in anybody's business decision. I don't think I have the sophistication to do that. So, but on the land use part of it, I think that's what we got to keep our focus on. But it's still going to be. The land trust, Vance, hasn't lost it. If you're concerned about a business plan, and maybe you know more about those things than I do, but like I said, I haven't even looked at it. It's nice to know they have one, and we've reviewed it. You know, all that's well and good. But again, I don't know whether it's viable or not. It's a lot of times. I know one thing about real estate is location, location, location. And if this, it'll either prove to be a good location for this activity or not.
How is the land titled at this moment? How is the land titled? Does anyone know? No.
I think it hasn't changed hands. Has it?
It's still in the county.
I'm not sure,
name?
but I don't know that that's been worked out.
Okay. The reference on the application was that the applicant is Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens Incorporated, mm-hmm. and the owner was the Sussex County Land Trust Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we deeded the land over.
I think we did give
in fee to the land trust.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Some time ago.
More questions of council?
No.
Sort of be a shame if later on that we find out we need that for our source district.
Well, we already gave it away.
I know. It's a shame to find out why we did that. So since why we pay over $1 million for a piece of land and then get part of it away and got a sewer plant nearby?
I think it's because it was a
crime. And then we turn around and give it to people that says the land trust to be open space. And you look through these specifications here, they got all kinds of buildings and all kinds of things that are going to be built. It's certainly not, to me, it's not open space.
Well, I know
open space where I can put a farm tractor and plow one end to the other, or trees or something like that. Certainly not buildings on it.
No, open space is more than that. But, Sam, if we ever did have to possibly use it, I mean, they use wastewater on golf courses all the time, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's an arrangement that could be made that maybe some of the water uses on here could be reclaimed water from our sewer plant, which might be helpful.
I agree, George, but
there's all kinds of options.
Why are we back begging from someone else to use their land?
We already gave it away,
Sam. We already had our own land.
We gave it away.
We don't have it now, though.
Well, we had the idea it's going to keep more space, and if we ever got in desperate need, we could have went back to land trust if there was a good neighbor of ours and said, sure, take it back, and we're for open space. Go ahead and use it for that.
Well, we gave it away.
I guess the question is, directed to Mr. Moore, can we consider the charge of the land trust with respect to this land and how that fits with Botanical Garden?
The question is not about that.
The land has already been deeded to the land trust, and then the land trust is entering in a lease agreement with the Botanic Gardens, and you know, it is not the county's land at this point.
Understood.
Yeah.
But we know what the charge is of the land trust. I served on there for several years. And the question is, as a reason for my vote, that this does not conform to the vision of the land trust and how that land was given to them to be used. Is that a legal reason for voting?
I believe that you could argue that since the use was to be open space and you do not consider this to be open space, if that was the way that you opted to vote, that you could opine as such.
Why would we not then ask for a legal opinion? Is it, in fact, open space or not?
It's defined in the documents from the land trust itself.
If you desired to do that, I could. If you wanted, I could check into the documents and the charter of the land trust. I could then review to see if there were any conditions placed on this land. I do not know if there were any conditions placed on the land when it was deeded to the land trust. There were no restrictions that I'm aware of. Were placed. However, I've not researched that. We could definitely research that and check that.
I just need to add one thing, gentlemen and ladies. There's two members of the county council sat on the board that supported this.
Yes.
So it wasn't anything that, you know, we didn't know about and it wasn't in the pipeline. So two members sat on the board and went with the program, figuring it fit into the definition of open space. It's a partnership, like we've got partnerships with the James Farm so they felt this was a comfortable partnership. And I don't believe I was sitting on the board at that time, so I'm just saying I know that we have two members on that board. Mm-hmm. And so I think the county council has supported it up until this point. So it seems a little odd that we start questioning all this stuff now. We should have questioned it. The members should have been questioning it who sat on that board.
Well, things slip by, George. Regardless who it is, you've been in meetings.
I'm just pointing
so
that out.
Don't say this doesn't happen.
I'm just saying I pointed it out.
And the name of this organization is a name as Land Trust. Mm-hmm. We trusted them that's what it's going to be, open space. That's what we trusted. I wasn't here today. The county council gave that piece of land to Land Trust. But with the idea, knowing it was going to be open space, that was the reason it was given to Land Trust.
No.
No other reason.
It's not true.
Why are we spending $1 million, Joe, for what?
Advice.
What do we get out of it if we don't have open space?
Okay.
I guess the question, certainly.
Could I ask that we defer for 1 week while Mr. Moore looks into the charter of the land trust and can maybe answer the question as to whether or not this application fits within that charter's purpose and goals? 1 week.
You have a second?
So you're investigating the land trust, but our question today was use of that property.
Hold on. If someone wants to second his motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Now we've got a second. Questions on the motion. Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, Mike. Well, I thought we were here to decide about use of that land. And, you know, the other question that Mr. Phillips has, to me, it's not part of that decision. It's a land use question. And planning and zoning has given their opinion on it. So I don't really see why, you know, I'm sure that the land trust will stand up. under this scrutiny. I'm not concerned about that, but it's just not what we're here for. And we certainly could do that at any time. Anytime, we have the right to investigate land trust anytime.
Well,
Any more questions, Mr. Phillips?
To address that, we have deferred when applications seem to run counter to a property's covenants, for instance, just to get a legal opinion regarding our action and whether it would conform to a development's covenants.
Well, that was brought up 2 weeks ago.
That is another example of when we want to go to the legal department to find out exactly if we're going to be able to move forward without legal risk.
And the evidence you're alluding to, Vance, is what? That there's
the land trust charter lays out specific uses of land that is donated for them. I would like to ask the attorney if this is one of those uses.
More questions on the motion.
Have you contacted them to ask them about it, Mr. Phillips?
The record's closed, ma'am. I can't.
No, the land trust is not closed.
The record on this is closed, and it wouldn't be legal for me to be seeking more information
from the land trust.
I believe so.
I think you could always read their mission statements and those things. Vance ought to be in writing somewhere. But
any more questions on the motion?
Anyway,
and the motion is to defer
for 1 week to get an opinion from our legal attorney as to the definition, I guess, under the land trust of open space.
And the general use of the property that is given to them.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Well, if you want to defer for another week and you wanted to look at the business plan and all of that, I'll vote yes, but it's, to me, what these people are going to put into this project is a gift to Sussex County and to Sussex County's economy, and I wouldn't want to see any more slowing down of this decision, but yes, I'll vote for this.
Mr. Cole.
Well, no, I'm actually, I think I've heard enough. I'm familiar enough with the land trust, and I think that the county representation on the land trust, I'm confident the people who sit there would have raised certain issues if they thought that it wasn't going to be used properly. And I just think at this point it would, it's just dragging things out, and we're wasting county resources. And anyway, no, I'll just vote no, not to defer. I think it's time to do it.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes, and with some thoughts by the presenter that day. Talked about how the farmer that tilled that piece of land was ruining the creek
The
rivers because of the chemicals. Now, if this guy can have these gardens by having any chemicals, I sure love to know how he can do it. It's impossible with all those plants, lights, and everything else, without chemicals, and be a totally organic. I'd be a fool to believe it. So my answer is yes.
I'll vote yes. We'll defer for 1 week for Mr. Moore to research and come back to us with answers to the questions that were raised, and we'll hopefully all be prepared to vote next Tuesday.
Too bad we didn't have the chairman come in and talk to us about it, of the land trust. Talk to Dennis Forney.
Mr. Lank.
Yes, we have also had on the agenda, excuse me, conditional use 1967, the application of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated. This was an application to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for a wastewater treatment plant to treat off-site waste to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on parcels containing 10.26 acres, more or less, lying south of Road 285, also known as Cedar Grove Road, and being east of Road 277, also known as Robinsonville Road, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 334, Map 11, parcels 83 and 84. Just for reference, the commission discussed this application again on September 25th at Old Business. Mr. Robertson, Assistant County Attorney, advised the Commission that an issue has come to the attention of the county as to whether the applicant had standing to apply for the conditional use on the subject property, or stated another way, whether the county has jurisdiction to consider the applicant's conditional use for this property, and that while legal counsel continues to review the issue, He asked that the matter be deferred for receipt of a legal opinion on the issue. And thereby there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to defer action pending the legal opinion from county council. And that motion carried 5-0 and thereby do not have a recommendation from the commission to the state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but we haven't got the legal opinion yet.
Right.
Oh, okay. Then
but we had it on the agenda, so I had to give you some.
We're going to get the opinion now.
Okay, good. I thought it would be nice to have it a little earlier, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. What I did in reviewing this, the first thing I did was go back and look at the task I was charged with after the public hearing. As you recall, during the public hearing, a gentleman brought up a document which was the easement that was in place at that time and questioned whether or not effluent could be used, even though Tidewater, the applicant, owned the pipes and the material, or the pipes and the system, that it was limited where it could be placed based upon the easement document. So I went back and I first looked at the minutes, and the minutes indicate a motion was made by Mrs. Deaver, seconded by Mr. Cole, to defer action on conditional use number 1967, filed on behalf of Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc., and to leave the record open for the county attorney's comment on the sewage disposal easement. Then I went back and actually listened to the transcript to make sure if it was specifically on an easement issue or on that easement, and started out on the pertinent portion. It was the President, Mr. Vincent, stating we will close the public hearing and we will keep the record only for, and Councilwoman Deaver indicated, that document. Mr. Moore's answer on the document the gentleman gave you about the easement in that area. So it was specifically concerning that document. And the reason I bring all this up, at that point, the record was closed except for interpretation of that document. And that was the document that was in play, and that was in effect at the time that the application was made and at the time we had the public hearing. And again, the reason that's important is due to the fact that there has been a post-record agreement made between the parties. Many of the parties that were here that day, the HOA, and I received a copy of that agreement yesterday. But that was made post-record, after the record was closed. And the record was left open only for the specific purpose of looking at the easement that was in place at the time of the application. In looking at that document itself, when I read that, it states in pertinent part, developer granted a permanent easement to the utility, and the purpose of such easement is described herein as follows. And I'm not going to bore you and read all the language that was in that paragraph, but it towards the end it says, to provide sewage disposal services to the development. Thus, the easement's grant language specifically and clearly references providing sanitary service, sewer service to the development. The development is defined in that document in several places as that specific document, and it refers to the plot plan. Additionally, a whereas clause in the sewage disposal easement further demonstrates the easement's intended scope, stating that the developer desires to serve the developer and those purchasing the property at the development from the developer. The scope of the easement is clearly limited to providing sanitary sewer services to the development.
Meaning retreat.
Yes. Then, so that brought up an interesting question. The document at that time that we were charged, that I was charged to look at, was very limited to that development. So what effect did that have on the application? And one of the things that we always look at, does an applicant have standing to actually bring an application before the board or the council? In those cases, we always look to deeds. Do they own the property? We look at contracts of sale. Does someone have a contract so they have an equitable interest in that property? In this case, we need to look to the easement. That easement is limited just to those those people that live in that development. And standing is conferred, according to Delaware cases, upon those persons who have some right, title, or interest in the land. An easement would give a right, title, or easement in the land. The sewage disposal agreement that I reviewed that was in play at the time we had the public hearing provided does not establish Tidewater's interest or ability to utilize the property for its proposed conditional use of treating off-site sewage. We as a council have the right to determine what standing is and determine those issues. And so for that reason, I opine that the easement that was in place when the public hearing took place was limited for that development only, not for any other purposes. I do recognize that an agreement has been put in place subsequent, and in fact, I believe it was yesterday, that would have corrected the problem if a new application comes forward, that it does take care of the issue. But at the time, I opined that they did not have standing.
So the current application does not have standing. You're, right. Basically, bottom line is it?
Yes.
Okay, so the question, I guess, that the Planning and Zoning Record was concerned about it, they referenced that did the applicant have standing? And now we've researched it, and the opinion is it does not.
Yes, so and I've had a couple of associates in my office review this, one a new associate to... actually did the public works for Newcastle County for 10 years. I also have been in constant consultation with Mr. Vincent also on, or excuse me, Mr. Robertson on this matter as well, and we all come to the same conclusion.
Okay.
So our action should be?
I believe it would be appropriate to deny for lack of standing.
Okay. Can they come back under another entity with standing?
They could refile because with the new agreement, they would have standing.
Okay.
And looking at that document, that does take care of the issue.
Can we expedite that application and waive the fee?
Well, there's no emergency situation. We don't, Vance, we just, somebody runs into a roadblock, we don't want to be just willy-nilly giving extensions. I mean, before you know it, we should have, and we've always had a kind of a threshold, is if it's an emergency, some burnt down. Anyway, I don't know if somebody can give me reason to move this one ahead and expedite something like this. Give me a good reason.
I guess we need to vote on this before we start talking about what we're going to do next. All right.
Do you have a motion, expedite. Mr. Moore?
Expedite.
Like, in other words, move them ahead of everybody.
We would just
else.
Read the short title and then it'd be voted down if that were the case.
If you'd please read short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a wastewater treatment plant to treat off-site waste to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 10.26 acres more or less, two tracts, tax map ID 3-34-11, parcels 83 and 83.04.
Make a motion to adopt the orders.
Second.
Would the motion be to adopt the
to
ordinance?
Adopt and then everything it could be voted down right. Based okay. upon lack of standard.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
No, obviously we can't adopt it, and due to lack of standing within the application itself.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote to deny because of lack of standing.
Phillips.
Based on the advice of counsel and the fact that we're not really legally able to approve this, I will vote
no.
No. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'll vote Wilson. No.
Also, based on that there's lack of standing, we can't do this legally, so I'll vote no. Motion is denied. Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. First grant is Old Timer Softball League. They are requesting funds to cover the cost of improving their grounds for safer use by senior players and others who share their fields. They would also like to build an outfield fence to qualify hosting upstate teams to participate in Sussex County tournaments. They're requesting $1,500. The last grant received was $500, which was $100 each.
Okay.
so this would be $300 each.
Yes.
I move we give $200 each.
Two?
Yeah.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Did he say 200?
$200 each. Mm-hmm. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I second that.
Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $1,000 to the Old Timer Softball League of Sussex County, being $200 from each councilmatic district. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I mean, yes, motion carried.
Balance. Have any money left?
Yes. The next grant is Boys to Men. They are requesting a sponsor of their WAVE Challenge program. Boys to Men is an after-school program that helps teenage boys to become men. Every week, dedicated Boys to Men mentors show up to schools and foster care facilities to give teenage boys a community of mentors who listen, encourage, and believe in them. There have been no past grants.
I'd like to give $300 from my account. I know some of those who are working with this organization are first-class people, and I believe they're doing good work.
Motion, second. Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $300 from Mr. Phillips' account to the Boys to Men for the 100 Wave Challenge event. Any questions?
Mrs. Deaver. I haven't heard of it before, so I'm sure we've looked into it thoroughly, too. This is a well-run and
that is correct.
Established agency,
yes.
Would you say, or nonprofit,
yes.
And it's a, and it's effective. Hopefully, it's very effective. Okay.
Whether you're voting yes or
yes, I'm voting yes. Definitely.
Okay. Mr. Cole,
yes.
Mr. Phillips,
yes.
Mr. Wilson,
yes.
How about yes? Motion carried.
Okay, and then the next grant, the Good Samaritan Aid Organization. I'd like to put that letter with the Human Service Grants and give them money out of that fund.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
Sure, yes, Mr. President, we have an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, two units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 8,277 square feet, more or less, tax map ID 3-34-20.09-120 on behalf of Sand Hill Homes, LLC, District 4.
It is 4? Just over the line.
Can you introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
There you go.
Mr. Cole introduces the ordinance.
And that is the only one I see.
Thank you, sir. Additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy.
I got something, Mr. President, when we see what we got on the list.
Additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy.
You're on, Mr. Guy. The Chip Guy Show.
Chip Guy Show. Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger. R-E-I-G-E-R. Okay.
All that was is basically is here is the county sent out the inspector. She took some pictures of the property next door. I don't know whether the council was able to take a look at the pictures that she took. She took a brief pictures of it. Just making sure that when you look at, if you can go back to what I had read last week a little bit, pick out a couple of the zoning infractions that I believe are infractions. Coming in with the two livestock buildings, proper permitting for different things with the trailers and stuff like that. If there's no permits pulled on them, they should either be enforced that they have to pull the permits to make sure that they're legal, pay the cost of all them. Because if I have to get three trailers, that's $95 that I'd have to pay. I can't see why. Otherwise, nobody should have to pay for a permit if everything is a selective enforcement. The only thing that's ironing about the whole thing is don't know where the pigs went, but that Thursday morning or when the inspector came out, pigs were moved off somehow, and we ended up with a couple cows. So if you could just, the county can look at it as all the violations in there, go through, even like the ducks, you call ag says it's not them, or though we're agriculture. County says, or I don't know the exact things with the ducks. In another couple weeks when the soy goes, we're going to have the March of the Penguins, March of the Ducks across the street. That's going to be another, it's going to be a problem. Everybody thought I was funny a month ago, thought I was whining about with the horse signs and even the speed limit on Deer Forest. I spoke to one person, another neighbor. What happened yesterday, the woman up north of me, that motorcycle hit the horse in the road when it had panicked. Mm. It's just with different regulations, with more people moving in, more farms being sold, just some of the zoning restrictions seem to be a little bit lax that's going to go on. And just with all the stuff in there, if it's going to be allowed for one, it should be allowed for all. If he's not going to have to pay for the, which the chicken house, that structure, the 20 by 20 or 20 by whatever it is, too close to the property line within the 50 feet, he should have to pay for a permit for that. It should meet zoning. The other building, when he added on, should meet zoning, should be 50 feet off. The trailer, the tractors that were there, if they're not permitted, should be forced to get a permit for them. If he wants them, pay the price. You can have 100 trailers, which I don't even know. I mean, it was a rude awakening when I went to go check for a permit for myself for to put 3 containers on my property. If it was $30, I would have bought you in a permit for that. It says here, I paid for my permit for it. $95, I didn't want to take it out of my pocket. But if you're going to do all the zoning things and have the zoning regulations, they should be enforced. If I'm going to have to pay for my run-in, my fence permit, keep everything up to code, the neighbor should be up to code. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
What kind of trailers were you talking about?
Just container tractor trailers.
We're not responding.
Yeah, and one of the things, according to our rules of procedure, it's the president that should be asking any questions, if anyone.
Mr. Lawson, I'm assuming we are following through on this with the...
Sorry, I'm out of order.
That's correct, with planning and zoning.
Okay, good job.
Rocco Lano.
I thought he was talking about homes or something. I was talking about trailers.
Good morning, John.
Morning,
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Council members, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak before you. I did have the opportunity about 5 years ago when you helped pass the Code 96, which brought Sussex County back into blacktopping of developments and so forth. We took some, you took some of the pressure off the state. I'm here to request and ask if we can have a law passed. Dog leash law. As you notice on the handouts, there's only one county in Delaware that has a dog leash law. That's Newcastle County. Kent or Sussex does not. That's just a brief of what is on the books in Newcastle County. But right now, it's a request. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association in Plantation Park 2. It's a mobile home, conventional type park. We have approximately 35, 36 full-time residents. It's mainly a vacation resort park. I've had for the last 6-7 years a problem with one of the residents who refuses to control his dogs. The residents, full-time residents, and even the visitors cannot even walk their dogs that are leashed because this one family, like I say, will not control their dogs, and their dogs will, thank God they haven't attacked, but they come to the point where they, the residents are screaming or you know, doing something to avoid it. I have written numerous letters to this residential party, and it just seems to be falling on deaf ears. I did speak to a gentleman in animal control last week, and he told me that there is no law in Sussex County. The only county that has some enforcement is Newcastle County. Seeking some advice or some help.
We'll certainly hand this to Mr. Lawson and staff. certainly come back if they think it's a recommendation he made.
Do we have a, I'm just curious as to whether the park manager has done anything under this form. I don't see anything about that.
I don't think we know
that.
I
think we're allowed to discuss this, are we?
Or not.
Right. I understand.
We will pass this on to Mr. Lawson at the end of the table there, Administrator.
Thank you.
And he can do some research, and if there's something he thinks we need to be considering, he can bring it back to us.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly. Thank you. Mr. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. Two points I want to make. I want to know why all of a sudden I'm hearing that the taxes are being sent in through the mail, and then when they look on their whatever internet to look up what there's when it has returned, taxes from the county have been sitting here as high as 4 weeks and not getting processed. Why not? If you've got a problem with the computers, or you don't have enough help, then you better be hiring some help to put it through. If the computers aren't working, then get them fixed. And the next thing is enforcement. If you guys aren't going to enforce these stupid ordinances you guys pass, I got news for you. I'm going to go out on my place, and I'm going to start putting up stuff. And by dadgummit, I am going to dare you. I'm going to flat tell you, dare you to send your guys out and cite me. Because I'd glad to meet you in court, because I'll beat you.
We'll send Sam Wilson.
We will entertain a motion to go into...
I got a couple things I'd like to put. One is if Todd would put on the agenda for review and discussion only purposes, the two campgrounds that have, I think, have both of them been... Lawrence, have both the campgrounds been determined by P&Z?
Yes,
okay, I think it would be appropriate that we get everybody up to date on them, on what's come in and where we are, and then any legal or any conversations with our attorney. So if we could get those on the agenda so we could have that.
To discuss.
Yes, discussion, review, and then we'll take other appropriate action after that. That's number one. Number two is I flipping through the paper the other day, I read a disturbing article, and it was citing a loophole, possible loophole about this permitting 60-foot-tall buildings. In our ordinances, there's referencing a 60-foot building is permitted if it's public or semi-public in nature or something to that effect, and I don't have it in front of me, but it also referenced hospitals and I think schools and things of that nature. And it appears that we've some attorney out there has cited that we have a loophole. And, of course, I'm concerned that the county's attorney didn't say, no, there isn't a loophole. It's fine. It's for such and such. Anyway, it's opened up the door on a couple issues, and I think that's distressing to all the people who've developed in this county and have done it.
Been applied.
Done mm-hmm. it. And we've got a lot of development. We've got good, healthy development. We've had no problem with development. And all of a sudden, supposedly, there's this loophole's been created. I'd love to find out and have a good discussion on the agenda for that. As soon as you can get the information, Todd and Everett, to brief us properly, and again, maybe you can and review it, find out, is there a loophole? Maybe there's not a loophole. Maybe it's just a confusion in interpreting things. All right, so those two things would be very helpful to me.
I have a question when George is finished.
Mrs. Deaver.
Don't forget me. I want to go over some of these suggestions we got from our planner, and I want to look at the many uses under CR1. And I am planning for not too long from here, I want to have the workshop on the adequate public facilities, and I'm working on getting ready for that. So we need to set a date for that at some point. Thank you.
Anything else from council? Entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? Oh. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, we'll now go into executive session for pending potential litigation.